Miami was terrible in the first quarter, scoring just 14 points, but then they started moving the ball well, attacking the paint, and fighting for every rebound, and led by Gabe Vincent's career-high 28 points, were able to come back from a 15-point deficit to beat the Milwaukee Bucks. We break down Gabe's big night, how Miami came back against the Milwaukee, and the latest on Dwayne Dedmon on today's Locked On Heat.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome to Locked On Heat, your Monday to Friday podcast on the Miami Heat. However you might be tuning in on YouTube, Odyssey, or on your favorite podcast app, thank you for making Locked On Heat your first listen every day. I'm Wes Goldberg here with David Ramil. The Miami Heat beat the Milwaukee Bucks 108-102, both teams without several key players. The Bucks were without Giannis, Chris Middleton still out with the knee thing. For the Heat, no Kyle Lowry, no Tyler Hero, no Caleb Martin. But this ended up still being a really fun one, despite a really bad first quarter. The last three quarters were a lot of fun. A bunch of interesting stats came out of it. Not really sure which direction to go in with this, David. So I'm just going to give you some of the more interesting stats, and then you just tell me which one you want to dive into a little bit more. So,
all right, sounds good.
The Milwaukee Bucks took just two shots. These Milwaukee Bucks, no Giannis, granted, but the Milwaukee Bucks, two shots in the restricted area the entire game. They had 18 points overall in the paint. Gabe Vincent scored a career-high 28 points. The Heat made 55 straight free throws until Jimmy Butler missed a meaningless one with 27 seconds left. That's dating back to the last free throw they made against Brooklyn on Sunday. Of course, they went 40-40 against the Thunder on Tuesday. They made their first 15 until Jimmy Butler missed the last one, the 16th free throw of the night with 27 seconds left in the game. So that streak comes to an end. Next stat, the Heat out-rebounding the Bucks 61-39. The Bucks, they attempted 57 three-pointers in this game and lost. And yeah, the final one here, the Miami Heat, three games over 500 for the first time all season. So which one of those are most interesting to you that you want to talk about a little bit more?
Well, I think it's the three games over 500. That's the big story, right? That are finally looking, as Spo alluded to before the Oklahoma City Thunder game, that they're finding their identity, right? They're back from that road trip. It was a successful one overall. They've won seven of their last 10 games. And I think things are trending in the right direction. I know that people still aren't quite believing in this version of the Miami Heat, but we've seen them get better. They're starting to understand their role. They're getting a boost from Victor Oladipo, from Gabe Vincent tonight, occasionally from Orlando Robinson, Jamal Kane stepping up in a bigger role today. I think it's a very positive version of this Miami Heat, certainly the best that they've looked all season. And I think that we can look back over the past couple of weeks, that kind of frame of reference, and say that they're absolutely improving. And when you look at Tyrese Haliburton and his injury, the fact that the Indiana Pacers revolve around him offensively, he's so important to what they do. Miami has a good chance to continue climbing up the standings based on their recent success. You don't want to jinx it. At the same time, I think it's more sustainable than I would have thought earlier in the season. This seems like Miami getting back on track, despite the injuries, despite the missing players, despite Dwayne Dedmon's antics on the sideline. They've weathered all these respective storms and continue to find a way to win. So I think that's worth noting.
Yeah, you mentioned the Pacers there. The Heat now a half game behind the Indiana Pacers after tonight's win for seventh place. The Heat are in eighth place right now in the Eastern Conference. They've won five of their last seven games. They're doing it without several key players, such as tonight. They did the same thing against the Thunder. Unfortunately, you dropped out that game against the Brooklyn Nets on Sunday, but the Brooklyn Nets are facing their own injury. Obviously, Kevin Durant leaving that game. He's going to be out for probably a month. You mentioned the Pacers won. There are teams in front of Miami. I don't think that Brooklyn will drop so far that Miami's really going to be, you know, battling with them for standing in the Eastern Conference. But look, this is probably the best the Heat have been playing, you know, big kind of looking at this stretch of this last 5-7 stretch. Or 5-4-7 stretch. This is the best they've played all season. And there's a couple of noticeable markers too, right? Like, this is a team that would build leads and then give up those leads and then lose. And then as the season went on, the Heat would still give up those leads, but then just not lose anymore. And then that's when you get all these clutch games coming into play. The Heat built up a 12-point lead, I think, was the most they led by in this one against Milwaukee. And Milwaukee fought back a little bit, but it never got to the point where it turned into another clutch game. They actually avoided an officially clutch game by 1 point in this one. So never even got to a clutch game, which was rare. So this was a pretty comfortable cushion that the Miami Heat won by. It never really felt like the game hung in the balance late in the fourth quarter, really at all. Despite some big performances by Milwaukee's, you know, non-Giannis, non-Chris Middleton guys, like you had Jrue Holiday making a bunch of step-back jumpers. You had Javon Carter scoring 18 points off the bench. Some guy named AJ Green scored 15 points for them. Like, there was guys that stepped up from Milwaukee. It was also the second night of back-to-back for them, so they kind of felt like they lost steam a little bit here. But the Miami Heat took care of business to 3 games over .500 for the first time all season, and it feels like they're playing their best basketball of the season.
What's the next statistic we should get into?
Let's do the 2 points in the two shots in the restricted area. That's insane. Yeah, I know that they were without Giannis, but still, I mean, they've got big Brooke Lopez, big Bobby Portis, Jrue Holiday likes to get to the basket. There are guys who could still get to the basket, and the Heat go into a zone basically the entire game, it felt like, walling off the paint, regardless of Giannis not being a part of this one. They still employed their usual Milwaukee Bucks strategy. We're going to keep you out of the paint. We're going to dare you to shoot threes. And they did. That other stat that I had is directly related to the fact that they only took two shots in the restricted area. They took 57 three-pointers in this game. Shot 38.6% from three, made 22 of those 57, which is a fair, that's a decent percentage. But, you know, the Milwaukee Bucks are built to get into the paint and win games that way, and they weren't able to do it tonight. And you got to credit Miami at least somewhat for that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I just find it hard to believe they only took two shots. Like, I'm recalling at least a Bobby Portis layup and a Jrue Holiday layup. I can't believe those were the only two shots that they took.
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah.
Nobody else? No Brook Lopez in the paint? Nothing?
No, in the paint. No, but I'm talking about restricted area within those 3 feet.
Sure, like, yeah,
they
the got, circle, yeah.
But they still only in the entire painted area scored 18 points. So that's still minuscule. I mean, like, even for any NBA team that doesn't ever have Giannis, like, to only take 2 points in the paint is crazy to me. So, again, credit the Heat for that. Probably some tired legs by the Milwaukee Bucks. Maybe settling for some jump shots on the second night of a back-to-back. They landed in Miami at, like, 4 a.m. So all of this comes into play, but still, this is an NBA game. To only take two shots in the restricted area is pretty insane.
It is tough. Yeah, Miami's defense just looked really much more engaged. Even in that first quarter, look, they scored 14 points. Their problems were on the offensive end, not on the defensive end. And I want to shout out Bam Adebayo because I think he had his best game against Brook Lopez. You know, yes, the height has been such a problem. Lopez is such a great defender, but he's got all that size, shot-blocking ability. Bam really had his shot. The touch around the paint was perfection. The floater, that little jumper of his, he had the whole bag in action tonight. Really, really good game from him.
24 points, 12 rebounds, an assist. Had a block in that game. He was a +8 in 34 minutes. Our friend Cooper Moorhead from MiamiHeat.com, that was sort of his line of questioning in the post-game setting, was how meaningful is this that Bam Adebayo had that kind of game against Brook Lopez? And it's been a while since the Heat have seen Brook Lopez. We pointed it out in our preview with Ty Windish. Brook Lopez was not part of these contests last season because he was dealing with the injury there. So the fact that Bam Adebayo was able to do this against Brook Lopez, a guy, to your point, who has given him problems, and people like Brook Lopez of his ilk, big, true, bold, you know, huge seven-footers, those are the guys that have given Bam problems in the past, but this season has not been such an issue. But Brook Lopez is sort of like the best version of these, like, huge, bruising seven-footers. He's a legit Defensive Player of the Year guy. Every single season he's in the conversation when he's healthy, and he deserves to be because he's that good on that end and in controlling the paint. And against that drop coverage against Milwaukee, Bam was just like, all right, you're going to give me my 15-footers. I'm going to do it. But then it also didn't shy away from getting to the basket with lobs and stuff. What was strange to me was against Milwaukee, they always play that drop defense. It just felt like every single one of Miami's ball handlers, again, no Tyler Hero, no Kyle Lowry tonight, but Gabe Vincent, Max Strus, Jimmy Butler at times, like, just hitting Bam with that pocket pass over and over and over again. I don't know if it was something related to the drop coverage and the angles that sort of come with that. I'm not really sure. But the fact that that was open for Bam the entire night, and then he scored 24 points and basically controlled the entire second half offensively, and Milwaukee just didn't make any adjustments at all. I liked seeing Bam take advantage of that and just spam it over and over and over again. Like, you're going to give it to me? Great. In the past, we'd see Bam sometimes be like, all right, I'll get mine, and then I'll start facilitating. And he still facilitated a little bit tonight, but he was definitely aggressive, to your point.
And I think, look, without Giannis there, that certainly makes things a lot easier. He's the kind of guy that can close it out. His size also is much more challenging to be able to get those wide open looks. He would probably try to intercept those passes, or at least hedge on to the ball handler and make those pocket passes that you referred to a lot more difficult, if next to impossible. So definitely have to, point that out, because he's also a defensive player of the year.
Every player or in the post game, player, coach, whoever talked, was asked, hey, how's it going to be different on Saturday? Because we got this little baseball series thing. And they said, oh, it's going to be a whole lot different. And they're not going to only score 18 points in the paint. Bam said it. He's like, them scoring 18, that's not going to be a repeat performance on Saturday. They're going to have Giannis back. It's going to be a lot different. We mentioned Gabe Vincent setting a career-high 28 points. We know we're giving him some credit cookies. We're going to do that next. But first, David, tell the listeners about our sponsor.
Absolutely. Today's episode is brought to you by LinkedIn. As a small business owner or hiring manager, you know that success in 2023 all depends on the team members you surround yourself with. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. With LinkedIn Jobs, you can hire qualified candidates more efficiently by matching open roles with people who have the skills, values, and experiences to help you achieve your goals. LinkedIn Jobs helps you quickly attract qualified candidates to your open jobs with targeting tools that go beyond resume data by using insights from your job posts, company, and their 875 million member profiles to put your posts in front of the most qualified candidates. Identify the most qualified candidates on LinkedIn Jobs and connect with them fast and for free. LinkedIn Jobs makes it easy to screen and rate applicants based on your job qualifications, all on one platform. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/LockedOnNBA. That's LinkedIn.com/LockedOnNBA to post your job for free. Terms and conditions do apply.
Thank you for making Locked On Heat your first listen every day. It's a Heat win, which means it's time to get in the kitchen, whip up some credit cookies. David, do you have our cookies prepared?
Let's just go with a classic. This is a good win, a good comeback win without tea pieces there. I'm going with a Chips Ahoy chocolate chip cookie. Why not?
Can I throw an alternative at you? Of that, because I went into the Bucks locker room pregame to report a story, and I was asking Bobby Portis some questions, which this was a Bobby. This was a really quick, a bad Bobby Portis game, right? Yeah,
it was
5 of 12 points. And my first question to Bobby Portis in the locker room before the game was, hey, you're shooting 50% from the field. You're shooting like 46% last year. Like, what do you credit that efficiency to? And then lo and behold, I talked to him. I jinxed him. So you're welcome, Heat Nation. My fault that Bobby Portis had such a bad game. I apologize to Milwaukee Bucks fans.
That's how it works.
That is how it works. Exactly. And he missed like his first three shots. And I was like, yep, I'm responsible for this. Do you believe that, by the way? Have you ever talked to a player before the game and then that player had a bad game and you're like, is this my fault?
Yeah, absolutely. I was doing a feature on Dennis Smith Jr. and he got hurt that same night that I talked to him and he missed like 2 months of action. So yeah, absolutely. I believe that, Jix.
Yeah, I do too. And I was talking about Bobby Portis. I do the five things for my Substack where I just ask players random questions. And one of them was, what's a travel essential? And I asked Bobby Portis, what's something you can't leave without when you go on a road trip?
Cookies?
It's animal crackers.
I'm all for it, but I don't think we should go with animal crackers considering that's Bobby's cookie of choice.
Well, no, Bobby helped us win this one. So I think he deserves a shout out here. He gets some credit. He gets an animal cracker for this. No, but I asked him frosted or not frosted. He said not frosted, of course. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever had a frosted animal cookie.
Good. You don't need it. Don't worry about it. I mean, maybe if you're curious one day, but just know that the not frosted ones are better. So you're doing the right thing already.
Okay, good. It sounds like it's an interesting choice, though. I've got to be honest with you.
He loves his animal crackers, man. So we're going to give out 10 animal crackers, or do you want to go with the Chips Ahoy?
No, let's go animal crackers. Right. Why not?
I like it. So we got to start with Gabe Vincent. Career high 28 points. I asked Gabe after the game, did you know what your career high going into this game was previously, obviously? And he said, I think it was somebody told me it was 27. I was like, it was 27. You beat it with 28 points. And he was like, you know what? Should have been 30. Kind of airballed that three at the end. I messed that one up. Should have been 30. Would have actually been 31, I think, if he had made it, because he ended up with 28 points. But still, he would have had a 30-burger. Doesn't have a 30-burger on the resume. That said, 28 points on 10 of 17 shooting, 5 of 11 from three-point range. Also had 6 assists. Great floor game overall from Gabe Vincent. I'm ready to just give him 5 credit cookies, animal crackers, right now. But maybe that's a little high. It depends on where else we got to go with this thing.
I feel like that's fair, because I think the shots, not only were they big, not only were they unexpected, considering they're coming from Gabe Vincent, but they're also momentum shifting. Like, he was huge in that second quarter when they were able to start their comeback. It was a 28-11 run when they were down by 15 at one point, and then they were able to eventually take the lead, and from there kind of just continue building and building. And I think a lot of that was based on the confidence that Vincent was feeling, but also able to imbue his teammates by making those right plays, by just kind of changing the way the defense was playing them. So I feel that's fair, because not only were they big points, but they were also really in context momentum shifting in Miami's favor. So 5 is absolutely the right call.
All right, I think we got to go down to 4 though, because I'm doing the math now. So we're gonna give him 4. But a team high, a game high, 28 points. He deserves the career lion's high. Share. The lion's share of the animal cookies. You like that? All right. So that's fine. Bam Adebayo. We already talked about his game 3.
Good game overall. Solid defense as always.
Great defense. Unbelievable. Like, yeah, there was actually a few moments there where he cleaned up. Miami's defense tightened up as the game went on. Again, Milwaukee tired legs weren't pressuring the rim a whole lot. But earlier in the game, Miami actually had some lapses, their perimeter defenders, and Bam just like cleaned up a bunch of stuff in the paint. So I thought his defense was actually excellent.
Yeah, leading rebounder for Miami as well. And yeah, just those big shots, the dunks. Those were thunderous dunks, too. Like, yeah. I mean, we saw one that was a monster the other night against the Brooklyn Nets. And you know, obviously it led to his injury. But at the same time, it didn't lead to his injury, right? I keep
exacerbated the injury, whatever. It was related to the injury. He actually talked about the injury after the game. A good moment to mention this, how he decided, he basically had to convince himself, and coaches and trainers had to convince him to miss the last game against the Thunder on Tuesday. But he only missed one game. He came back out, and that wrist looks fine, man. Like, he went against that drop coverage, they were giving him those 15-foot floaters that's become sort of his patented shot. He had the floater touch on him, so I don't think the wrist was a problem. He didn't airball anything. It didn't look stiff. He looked willing. He took, 19 shots tonight? Like, a guy whose wrist is bothering him does not take 19 shots, a team high 19 shots. So Bam gets 3. I think we got to shout out Max Strus here. 12 points, 10 rebounds, a career high in the regular season for him, 10 rebounds, 4 assists. I thought he got to the basket quite a bit. He wasn't just settling for those threes, although he took 7 of them. He only made 1 of them, and he still scored 12 points because he's like, you know what? These threes aren't going to go in. There's room here. He had my favorite play of the game was when a little give and go with Bam Adebayo, Bam having the ball at the nail. Strus pitches it to him, Bam pitches it back. As Max Strus relocates, and then he just finds him with the bounce pass, Strus cutting to the basket for the layup there. That was my favorite play of the game. To me, it was everything that was good about the Heat offensively after the first quarter. The ball movement was good. Everybody was willing. Guys were moving around with and without the ball. So Max Strus, I think he gets 1 animal cracker.
He does. And then 1 for Jimmy Butler, 1 for Victor Oladipo.
Exactly.
A quietish night for Jimmy. The shot wasn't falling to the same extent as it has, and he was not dominating from the free throw line the way he did against Oklahoma City, but he still was able to slow the pace of the game down, get to the rim and draw a foul for the most part, and a solid game. Good defensively, of course, and just a really good overall effort. And Oladipo, again, I did not like his performance in the first quarter. And maybe it was, again, in context of that first quarter when everybody's shots weren't falling, but his seemed particularly egregious. He was taking some wild shots, and I'm thinking to myself, uh-oh, he's trying too much. This is the version of Vic that we saw 3 weeks ago when he was just saying, you know what, I'm back to all-star form, when he clearly wasn't. And instead, he eventually settled down, got more into the flow of the offense. I think he recognized what the defense was doing, was able to attack a little bit differently, and was able to pinpoint some of those spots there and take advantage. He did a really good job with his passing as well.
Yeah.
Once he was able to get to the rim, if the shot wasn't there, he was able to dish it off to Bam or somebody else. And I think that was a part of making him much more effective. So I think he does deserve a cookie as well.
14-8-8. Almost a triple-double there. Eight rebounds, eight assists.
That's fantastic.
It's really good. I love Victor Oladipo's floor game. I thought he played a controlled game, to your point, after that first quarter. That first quarter was really weird. Nobody was making shots. The Heat scored, 14 points in the entire first quarter? That was really, I was like, oh boy, here we go. Why did I even come to this thing? And then, like I said, it got really fun after that. After that, the Heat scored 31 points in the second, 33 points in the third, and 30 points in the fourth quarter. So the offense really got going. Vic was a big part of that. Jimmy Butler, just really quick, 6 offensive rebounds for him. Miami, 18 offensive rebounds as a team to just 8 for Milwaukee. The Heat are not going to have a rebounding advantage like this. They had not up until the season. They probably won't again. They're not a good rebounding team. It was a lot of different
factors. Milwaukee is the best rebounding team in the league, too.
Yeah, so they're probably never going to do it. So Saturday's game is going to look a lot different, but the Heat got the win. 3 games over 500. Cheddar cookies given out to Bam, Gabe Vincent, Jimmy Butler, Max Strus, and Victor Oladipo. Can Victor Oladipo, the way he's playing, be the X factor that this Heat team needs as they're going on their best run of the season here? We'll talk about that next. But first, David, tell the listeners about our sponsor.
Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline.net, still your number one source for your sports betting information, stats, news, and analysis. You can get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from pro football to basketball. We've got it all at BetOnline.net. What's the betting line?
I knew you were going to ask me. Dolphins? I was just trying to think. I think it's, I don't know it. It's got to be double digits now that Tua is officially ruled out. I'm going to guess it's 10.5, but it's probably going to be more than that.
Oh, wow. If you love sports podcasts, you can even find those at BetOnline as well. We're always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting info. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Reach Locked On Heat on Twitter, Instagram. Email us, lockedonheat@gmail.com. You could send in your questions for our post-game shows using the hashtag AskLOHeat. I just looked it up. The line is 13.5, by the way. So there it is.
Feels less than it should be.
Feels like, I don't know why you hate the Dolphins so much. All right.
I don't. I'm tired of them causing so much pain to everybody I know.
Dwayne Dedmon suspended by the Heat for 1 game is the news out of Miami before the game. So he obviously misses this one against the Milwaukee Bucks. We'll see. We'll see what happens next with Dwayne Dedmon. I don't know that it's worth venturing even a guess here. I said it after the game on Tuesday that I don't know that we see Dwayne Dedmon in a Heat jersey again. Because we didn't get to hear from you, David, like what's just your overall thoughts on the Dwayne Dedmon situation?
In the moment, I thought it was really bad. But then to hear Spo talking about it after the game and the fact that it was only 1 game. Now, and I texted you this, and I don't know how much of a factor it is. This is just me guessing. But I wonder whether or not the reliance of Orlando Robinson, the injuries to Bam and Omer Yurtseven, wonder whether or not that played a factor in them saying, look, we can't afford to suspend him for more than 1 game. But there's that, and there's also the possibility that Miami, like, you know, as Spo mentions lots of times, we're all a bunch of gnarly personalities here. He doesn't mind that competitive spirit. It's probably something, again, we don't know the details of it. If Dwayne's pissed off because he's not getting playing time, because he got pulled out too early, because something went wrong, that shows in Miami context, it shows that he wants to have the ball more, that he wants to play more. And they can't fault that. They like that kind of attitude. Yeah. They would rather that than the inverse, which is
Spo said that forever. Yeah, Spo said that forever, even dating back to like Mario Chalmers taking like shots at the end of games in fourth quarters. And he would always say, like, when he had Dwayne Wade, LeBron, and Chris Bosh and Ray Allen on his team, he's like, I want guys who want to take that shot. Why wouldn't you want guys who want to take that shot? So he's always kind of said things in that way. I think the more that I've thought about this too, there's sort of two parts to this, right? There's the initial argument between him and Spo, and then there's him leaving the court, leaving the sideline and going into the locker room. I couldn't really tell what was going on live, but it felt like he was already leaving the floor, going into the locker room on his own accord before he got ejected, because he went and slapped the Theragun onto the court, and that's ultimately what led to him being ejected. But he only walked by the massage gun because he was leaving to go towards the tunnel. So there's two things. The argument on the sideline, I have no problem with. I agree. That's a typical Tuesday night with the Miami Heat, as Eric Spoelstra said. Gnarly dudes getting arguments. No problem with arguing on the sideline when you're not playing well, and I get it. It's been a frustrating year for Dwayne Dedmon, and frustrations boil over. I don't fault him for that. What I do fault him for was leaving the game. That's not okay, and that is unacceptable. And Spo said that. And so I agree with everything Spo said after the game, I guess. EJ Brooksy writes in, is Victor Oladipo the X factor that a healthy Heat team needs? David, what do you think?
It's a tough one to call because I think everybody on this team seems to be an X factor at some point. There's always going to be, look, you have your old reliables. You know what Jimmy's capable of, and the hope is that Bam and Tyler will be the complementary players in the playoffs, in the postseason, or throughout the rest of the regular season that Miami needs in order to continue to achieve success. But I think you can get Gabe, as you did tonight, to step up Max Strus. Should Duncan return healthy, Orlando Robinson had his moments, can Omer Yurtseven be that type player? So I'm not sure that I can specify Victor Oladipo as the X factor.
Can I ask you a different kind of question related to Victor Oladipo?
Absolutely.
Are you more impressed with what you've seen from him this regular season or last regular season?
Oh, this one by far. Last year's sample size.
I don't know. It's not recency bias, right? He looks better.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. But even when he first looked, the shot wasn't falling, but the burst, the willingness to attack,
exactly,
those things weren't there. Like he's absolutely feeling much more healthy.
The lateral, it's that side to side quickness, that lateral quickness is leaps and bounds better than what it was last year. I mean, he looks much springier. He looks lighter on his feet. Yeah. I'm really impressed. Look, whether or not he could be the X factor that the Heat team needs to do what, I guess, is the second part of this question that's missing. Like, needs to be competitive in the playoffs. Yeah, I know. I think Victor Oladipo is really important to this bench. And I asked Eric Spoelstra about this after the game. Like,
yeah,
with all these guys in and out of the lineups, missing 3-4 starters at a time this last couple of weeks, like, Victor Oladipo, you're keeping him as your sixth man. Why? And why is he so important? And he just went so far as to basically say, this is his role and he's got to master it. I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically what he said. And I get it. Like, the Heat need a stabilizer on the bench, and it's Victor Oladipo. And he played, what, 33, 34 minutes tonight? So he's playing starters minutes. He's closing games a lot more recently, and that's all great, and that's what he wants to do. But it's also really important for him to basically be the anchor of that bench unit that, as we know, before Victor Oladipo returned to the Heat this season, was one of the worst five bench units in the NBA, and that's not the case anymore. It's starting to trend in the right direction and get closer to what a league average bench would look like. If guys could start making shots like Max Strus and Gabe Vincent and these guys off the bench, now we're really talking about something. But having Oladipo as that primary playmaker to get those guys back into their basically off-ball roles that they weren't really playing when Oladipo wasn't healthy is really important. That kind of leads us to our next question. TZA Mac writes in, could the four-point play by Gabe Vincent versus the Thunder in the last game be the turning point of his season? He really balled out this game versus the Bucks. He did ball out. Do you think? Look, impossible to prove. I love it as a theory. I love it as a concept. I'll roll with it. The 4-point play, that's the turning point. If Gabe Vincent takes off, yeah, I'm down. I'm down to just say the 4-point play turned the whole season around. I'm good with it.
I need a little bit more of a sample size to verify that. I like the idea of it, sure. I think it's fun to say that. At the same time, look, I think we're going to see good games and some not so good games. I think that's just the nature of who Gabe Vincent is. He's healthy now. That's the part that we're kind of overlooking, is that when he was struggling earlier in the season, he was missing time. He was kind of trying to get back into rounding into form. Now he's back. He's healthy. He's feeling good. And he started tonight, too. That certainly helps him kind of understand his role, what he's supposed to be doing. The thing that I liked most from him was the confidence, because I don't think that's something that we've seen regularly throughout this season, is that he has to be able, he did this last year. Like, he stepped up in the playoffs last year. He stepped up at moments during the regular season, which is how they were able to weather the loss of Kyle Lowry, Tyler Hero, Bam Adebayo, Jimmy Butler. They missed significant amount of time during the regular season, but guys like Max, Gabe, et cetera, stepped up, and that's what's necessary of him. So, yeah, I like the fact that he's feeling more like the player he was last year, and it's interesting and curious. I'm curious to see how he continues to build off this moving forward.
Yeah, the thing that sticks out to me, not just the 28 points, but it's the 5 of 11 from three-point range. He's shooting sub 30% the entire season. And so if that 3-point shot comes along, now we're talking about a whole different Gabe Vincent, right? That player that's absolutely really impactful. And then that defense, as that injury gets further and further away from him that he was dealing with, that defense, that on-ball defense, specifically the kind of on-ball defense we saw in the playoffs, that'll start to come back too. Yeah, that's it. Look, nobody was shy after the game saying that Saturday is going to look a lot different. Milwaukee will be closer to full strength. Not sure that they'll have Chris Middleton back. We'll see on that. But Giannis will certainly be a part of that one. And then for the Heat, they should get... So it sounds like they think they're going to get some guys back too, but we'll see what's going on with Tyler Hero and this Achilles soreness that's been bothering him. And
congratulations to him and yes, his girlfriend.
That's also true.
Yes. Harlem Hero.
Great name, Harlem. That's a cool name.
Is it? Is it?
I like that. You don't like that?
I'm not big on the whole naming your child after a city. I know, what was it? One of the... David Beckham, right? Didn't he name his kid like Bronx Brooklyn or something like that? I don't know.
Bronx. Brooklyn. It's Brooklyn Beckham.
Brooklyn, whatever. Right? One of the boroughs.
One of the boroughs. Staten Island Beckham. Welcome to the family. That'll do it for us today here on Locked On Heat. Thank you for making us your first listen every day. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Heat on your favorite podcast app and on YouTube. Ring the bell to get notified as soon as new episodes go. Bronx Beckham. Now make your second listen Game to Game NBA. Every moment, every top performance, every result, Locked On Game to Game covers every game from across the NBA with local analysis that only Locked On can deliver. Follow Game to Game on Locked On NBA. It's available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts.